Well, I'm thankful for this opportunity to be able to be with you all. And it's a wonderful thing to still be able to meet together this way. And I've been able to use Zoom my own self during these past couple of months, and been able to start a teenage Bible study online. And that takes place on a Monday and a Saturday. And it's a wonderful thing to see teenagers gathered from all around parts of the world that were joined together to study God's word. And through it, we've seen teenagers that have saved and given their lives to the Lord. We've seen teenagers now that say that they began a prayer meeting on a Sunday. And every Sunday at 9 p.m., they gather together on Zoom and they pray together. And they're praying for more souls to be saved. They're praying, you know, for works to be strengthened. They're praying for the gospel to go forth. And through that, just recently too, the Lord's really doing a work in their hearts about prayer, that each day they have a little WhatsApp group that they have. And each day they send out a reminder to pray for 10 minutes about a specific cause. And it's just a wonderful thing to see what God is doing in the hearts of many people during this time. And sometimes we can think, you know, oh, these are very hard times, or this is very difficult, or, you know, it seems as if things aren't going well, but yet God is still at work, and we can be thankful for that this morning. Let me pray with you, and then I want to share something with you from God's word together. But let's bow together here in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father and gracious God, we thank thee, Lord, that we can come together, and even though we may be apart physically, yet we know that we can be gathered here together because of that same bond, which is Jesus Christ, our Savior. So, Lord, we ask this morning that thou would speak to us, Lord. We pray, Father, that we would forget the channel, Lord, but we would see only the Lord Jesus. We want to hear his voice, and we want to know him speaking to us. So, Lord, we pray that as we open thy words, we ask that thy spirit would speak to us. We pray that your words would be revealed unto us. Lord, we do ask that our hearts would be prepared to hear from you. And Lord, I pray this morning that we would leave knowing this, that we have met with Jesus, our Savior. Lord, we pray that thou wouldst dine with us right in our very homes where we are at right now. And Lord, we pray for your words. Lord, may they be that which is needful for us to hear today. Would you challenge us? And Lord, help us not just to be those that hear thy word, but Lord, may we commit to be doers of thy word also. So Father, please bless us now, we pray. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you take your Bibles with me and turn to that passage that was read just a moment ago in Deuteronomy in chapter 6, and I'm very thankful for how the Lord speaks to us when we open his word. And I remember just as I was studying through and looking for what to speak on this morning, the Lord confirmed these verses to me as I was reading it. And I knew this was what the Lord wanted me to speak on. And it's amazing how when we do read his word, that he speaks to us in things that are relevant for even our times today. You know, we don't just think God's word is a history book that was relevant back then, but we know that even today, we can be thankful that God's word is for now. It's relevant. So if it's relevant for now, we have to make sure that we're reading much of it, that we're spending much time seeking the Lord Jesus. And I know that you guys attend a church, Artillery Street Church there, which was the church where Charles Spurgeon was converted. And I'm a big fan of Charles Spurgeon and his work, and I'm very thankful for how the Lord has used him in a great way. And even though he is dead, yet he still speaketh, because he's one who honored the Lord. And we can be thankful that it was Charles Spurgeon that said this: you cannot expect to grow in grace if you do not read the scriptures. And there's such an emphasis put on reading scripture, reading God's word. And I'm thankful that the Lord reveals these things to us, and he shows us what it is that we have to do. Without looking at his word, we are not going to know what the next step is that he wants us to take. And it must be that we abide in him and his words abide in us. But as I come to this passage here together, Deuteronomy in chapter 6, and we find here this passage is Moses speaking here to the children of Israel. And as Moses is speaking here, we know from the beginning of verse number 1, the Bible says this: now these are the commandments the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you. So you see here, right away, he confirms to the children of Israel, this is not my words. This is not what I'm telling you to do, but this is what the Lord your God has commanded to teach you. We can be thankful that when we come to God's words, that it is exactly right. There's nothing about it that we need to think, wow, I don't know if this is right, or I don't know if this is sure, but we can be sure that every word of God is perfect. Every word of God is right. Every word of God is helpful and relevant for today. Well, you say, here's the commandments that the Lord revealed to Moses to share unto the children of Israel. You say, well, what is it that God has in this passage for us today? And the Lord's really been dealing in my heart specifically with a certain theme, you could say, or a certain topic. And that topic is about fearing the Lord, fearing the Lord. You say, well, what does that mean? Sometimes we can think that when we fear the Lord, it's a sense of being so afraid of him and not able to approach him. But we know that God is an approachable Father. He's one whom we can go to. The Bible says in Psalm 100, enter into his courts with praise. So we can enter into his courts. We can be with the Lord Jesus. We can be with God. We say, well, what does it mean to fear him? You know, we know God is a loving Father who's willing to receive us even when we do wrong. Think about the prodigal son, the son that went astray, the son that went off into the world, spent his father's living, but yet every day the father waited outside for the son to come home. He's not a God who doesn't want us to approach him. That's not what it means when it means to fear the Lord, but it means to have a right view of God. It means to have a right fear of him. It means to keep his commandments, willing to obey his law. It says in verse 2, in my Bible, it says, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all of his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee. You know, when we think about fearing the Lord, fearing the Lord should lead to obedience. Obedience. There should be an obedience in our lives. You say, who am I obedient to? Well, obedient to him. And it comes from when we have a right view of God. I remember when I was much younger and attended school. And whenever you were in school, sometimes there were times where you did not have your regular school teacher that you had. And where I come from, they call it a supply teacher. Maybe you know the term that I'm on about. A supply teacher is somebody who is just taking the place of the teacher whilst they're away or they're not able to attend. And I remember being in school, whenever I had a supply teacher, I would try and push my boundaries. And I would try and get away with more than maybe I would usually get away with when my normal regular teacher was there. Because I knew they didn't really know me. They weren't able to have that same assurance or that same authority that maybe a teacher had. And I remember one time being in school and having a supply teacher, and a lot of people were not doing the things that they were supposed to do. And none of us knew this, but the head teacher was going around in the school and visiting each class to see how everybody was doing. And immediately, as soon as the head teacher came into that classroom, you could hear a pin drop and everything was silent. And you say, well, it was because there was a respect for him. They knew that he was the one who had the authority. You see, the same way when we think about that illustration and that example, we ought to be those who have a right view of God, a respect for him, a love for him. We keep reading here. The Bible says, in verse number 3, it says, hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it. And what this means is, I know from our scripture reading, you guys tend to use a different version than I do, but yet we can be thankful that it's God's word that speaks to us here. And it's saying here, the same message, it's saying that we ought to be those that hear God's word. He was saying to the children of Israel, listen to the commands that God has spoken. But don't just listen to it. You see, so many times we can sit in a meeting or we can be gathered together and we can hear a sermon or we can hear a preaching, And we can hear it. We can listen to it. We can listen to the words. And we can even say, that was exactly what I needed to hear. We can say, that was great. The Lord really spoke to me this morning. And then we stop there and we do nothing about it. You know, we stop there and we say, wow, that was good. And then we wait for the next service, or we wait for the next meeting, or the next time. But he continues to say here, hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it. Observe to do it. When we listen to a message from God's word, when we listen to the words that he speaks, we have to remember that I'm listening, I'm hearing, but I'm also taking that truth of God's word. I'm going to do something with it. How am I going to apply this to my life? What is it, Lord, that you want me to do now from this message that I heard? I know that you don't just want me to hear it, but you want me to do something with this truth. We see here that he was telling them to obey and hearken unto the commands that God had given to them, to do it. You see, right before Deuteronomy chapter 6, you have Deuteronomy chapter 5, and that's where he speaks to them and declares unto them the Ten Commandments. And you see, he shares with them these Ten Commandments, and you probably know these very well, the Ten Commandments, and you're familiar with them yourselves. But I feel as we come to Deuteronomy chapter 6, the Lord is giving us some more commandments here. There's some more things that he's saying that will help us to follow and to heed to these things. The Bible says in verse number 5, and this is really, you could say, one of the first commandments that he's giving us to do. And if anything, this is the most important one. The Bible says in verse 5, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. You see, the first thing that is very important in our lives is this, that you love the Lord thy God. And it doesn't stop there. You say, I love the Lord. You say, I wouldn't be here if I didn't love the Lord. I wouldn't be reading his word if I didn't love him. I wouldn't pray if I loved him. But he doesn't just say, love the Lord thy God. I was challenged when reading this. It says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. You know, there's times where you may feel very weak. Times where you feel as if you don't really want to maybe join a meeting, or you not really want to attend a service, or you feel not adequate to be able to do that. But if we're loving him with all of our might, willing to give all of our might for him, willing to give all my strength for him. You see, there was a preacher who said this, I would much rather burn out for Christ than rust out. You see, there was a need to win. I'm willing to give all of my life to the Lord Jesus Christ because he's given all for me. You see, when we think about surrendering to the Lord, when we think about doing something for the Lord, what helps us is to think about what he has done for us. Think about how the Lord Jesus Christ willingly offered his life to go upon the cross for us, that he was willing to shed his blood so that our sins could be forgiven, so that we could be made right with God. And it says here, love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. You see, verse number 5 is connected. Well, to be honest, all of these verses are connected here. But in verse number 14, if I bring your attention to verse 14 there, it says, ye shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are round about you. And you see, well, you say, well, how is that connected? It almost seems like there's two different thoughts there. But the Bible says this, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart. You say, you cannot love him with all your heart if there are things between you and the Savior. If there are things between your relationship with him, you cannot love him with all your heart. The Bible says, thou shalt, ye shall not go after other gods of the people which are round about you. And sometimes in our mind, when we think about idolatry or we think about idols, sometimes we think about the statues that are you find in some of the Eastern Asian countries, or you find some of the things that people worship and bow down to. But in fact, an idol is anything that we put between us and the Savior. You see, that idol could be a certain being or a certain person. That idol could be a hobby that we would much rather do than spend time seeking him. Maybe there's things in your life that you know that are idols. But yet the Lord is willing to help us to tear these idols down so that we may have a closer walk with him. A closer walk with him is what the Lord desires. You see, we cannot love him with all our heart if there are things between us and the Savior. They have to be settled. They have to be made right. You see, the very second commandment that I love. So the first thing the Lord says here is that you should love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Love God. Love God. And, you know, if we love God, we have a right view of him, then that will be, things will be okay. You see, if you have that one thing right in your life, if you are right with God, all the other things in life, all the other worries, he will help you with those things, as long as we keep a right relationship with God. Verse number 7 said this, and I love how this is the second thing that he says right after he says that we need to love the Lord our God. This is the second thing. And this is what the Lord really dealt with me about when I was reading this passage. It says, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. You see, this is wonderful. I love the version that you are using there. It says to teach them again and again and again. You know, don't stop when it comes to teaching the next generation. There was a lady from the church where I grew up, my home church. There is in Birmingham, and Beaches Road Baptist Chapel was the name of that church. And the church here at Oxford, in fact, is a church plant from Beaches Road Baptist Chapel. And there was a lady who used to attend the Sunday school there many, many years ago, before anybody through this ministry were able to take part in that work. And there was a lady that went to the Sunday school there, and her name was Mary Partridge. And this young lady grew up going to that church, and she was saved through the Sunday school. And through the Sunday school, she was then grown up and been able to be one of the teachers in the Sunday school. And the Lord used her greatly and did a great work in her heart, and just such an excitement to serve the Lord and to teach the next generation. Well, things began to become difficult, where people began to stop going out and evangelizing. People said, well, you know, things are getting difficult. It seems as if people don't want to come in anymore. And slowly by slowly, the Sunday school began to reduce in number. And eventually the meetings began to reduce in number. And the Sunday school, which used to meet and have many children that would come, began to close down. And then it was to where the Sunday school was no longer open. And then Mary Partridge was attending the services, and throughout this time she was praying that the Lord would open that work back up again. She was seeking the Lord that he would build that wall up again. And she was praying and praying, and then after a while the church members began to dwindle, the numbers began to reduce, and that church finally, after maybe a few months' time, closed down. There was nobody meeting there. The chapel was an empty building sitting there. For many years, it sat there, an empty chapel building. Nobody would attend there. Many people would probably walk by and see it. And Mary Partridge would be in her home every day without fail. She would pray that the Lord would start that Sunday school up again. Praying and praying and praying. She said this expression. She said, where there are no lambs, there'll be no sheep. Where there are no lambs, there'll be no sheep. You say, well, what does she mean when she say that? And I'll mention that in just a moment. But she sat in her home praying and praying year after year after year after year. Now imagine that. If that was us praying year after year, how easily would we give up? I know, speaking for my own self, I don't know if I'd be able to continue that or carry that on. But Mary Partridge was faithful to pray. And she sought the Lord, and she prayed and prayed and prayed. And a couple of years, well, many years later, there was a pastor in America who had a burden for wanting England to be reached with the gospel. So he prayed as well, and he sought the Lord. And the Lord put it on his heart to send a missionary from his church over to England. And he was able to get in contact with a minister here in England. And he spoke to him, and he said, is there any buildings you know that we could start a church? Any place that you know? Well, he said, well, I do know of this one building that's been sitting empty for a very long time. And the supermarket Sainsbury's is trying to take hold of it because they want to knock it down and turn it into a pay and display car park. And so he spoke to that minister and he said, well, would it be okay if we went by and maybe visited it? So he came over and went in a plane and came over to England and were able to visit that chapel on a side street there in the middle of Birmingham. And he went and was able to step over the gate and look through the window. And you can imagine him peering through the window and seeing that chapel building. And he said to him, what do we need to do to get this building? And so they inquired about it and spent much time in prayer. And the amazing thing was that building was given to this minister without a single charge. Not a single penny had to be paid. You see, God provided this building. It was his steps of confirmation. See, when the Lord works and the Lord moves, it's through his providences, providential circumstances like that. And meanwhile, Mary Partridge was praying in her home, praying and praying that the Lord would start up that Sunday school once again. And missionaries were able to get into that building. For 3 years, that work was very difficult. There was a gang that would come and attack the church and attack the members in the church. Around 3/4 of the windows were smashed out with bricks. Every week, it seemed like another one was being smashed. They would come in and terrorize the whole building during services. And there was one time where they came into a service and the preacher was up the front and they had one of these plastic BB guns. And they were shooting the preacher while he was preaching up there. Such difficult times, such challenging times. And yet Mary Partridge was still praying and seeking the Lord. And as she prayed and sought the Lord, there was a knock on her door. And a little lady who was helping to start that work there up at that church knocked on her door. And she said, I want to tell you about a church that has opened up again. And can I give you a leaflet? And she gave her a leaflet for the church. And the lady, the little old lady, Mary Partridge, she said, where is this church? And she was able to tell her exactly where that church was and tears running down her eyes. She said, this was the church that I went to Sunday school. This was the church that I grew up in. This was the church where I was able to be a part of the Sunday school. Tears running down her eyes. She knew that God had answered her prayer. She knew that God was at work. There was a faithfulness to him. She was faithful in praying. She sought the Lord and she said this as she went into that building a couple years later. Now you go into that building, there's a Sunday school of around 150 children. And you see, well, it's not about the numbers. But it's about the work that God is doing. You see, God is at work. And it's not that things are going down and things are stopping. But in fact, even my own self, I was reached through that Sunday school of that church. Now that's my home church and I attend there occasionally when I'm not preaching away. But it's an amazing thing to see this, that where there are no lambs, there will be no sheep. You see, when the Sunday school began to dwindle, when that work of influencing the next generation, teaching the next generation, when that dwindled, when that became less and less, then what happened was the congregation began to dwindle. And that began to lower. You see, there is a work that God has given to believers. And that is taking his truth, taking his word, taking the wonderful things that God has done in our lives and shown to us and teaching them to the next generation. You see, there's some young teenagers even here with us today. You see, the responsibility that we have is to teach them the truth. Because one day, and we should pray this way, that it would be them who are sitting in the seats that we're sitting in. It would be them who are taking the gospel and going forth with it and reaching the four corners of the earth. You see, this is not going to happen, and it's not going to be this way if we don't hearken unto the commands of the Lord. He says in verse number 7, and thou shalt teach them again and again and again unto thy children. He said, what should we be talking about? We should be talking about what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. You see, it says, thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. He said, there shouldn't be a time where we stop talking about the Lord. There shouldn't be a time when we stop talking about him. I love how the Lord continues to say again and again. There's so many things in this passage, and because for time's sake, I'm not able to go through every part of it. But the Bible says here in verse number 18, and thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord. This is something that we have to make the theme of our life. A lot of times we're seeking to please man. So often we seek to please man in the things that we do. The way that we do things, the decisions that we make. Oh, is this going to make so-and-so happy? Or if we did this today, I don't know how this person would feel about it. Do that which is right in the sight of God. I'm living for him. Please him. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. It's impossible to do that which is right in the sight of God if we don't live by faith. The Bible says this also in verse number 20. And I love this. It says, and when thy son asketh thee in time to come. So when the children will ask you, not if the children will ask you. It doesn't say, if the children ask you about, then tell them. It says when they ask you. When they ask you. I wonder this. If people was to see our lives today, will they be willing to ask, what made you this way? What is it that gives you this excitement about the Lord Jesus? What is it that changes, that's changed your life? They should be asking us because of the miracle that God has done in your life. It says, when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Then thou shalt say. You see, this is the next commandment. In verse 21, then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. See, what are we speaking of? We're not speaking of what we have done. It's not about the works of our hands. But look, it says here, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. His mighty hand. It's what God has done. Speak the things that God has done to the children. Tell them about what God has done. Tell them about what God is doing. You know, it hasn't just stopped. It's not that this is what God used to do, but we want to say this is what God is doing even now. And he's commanding us here, tell them about what the Lord has done. Verse number 22, and the Lord showed signs and wonders great and sore upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. You see, there's so many things that God has done in our lives, but we don't even recognize him at times. There's a hymn, a wonderful hymn that goes like this. It says, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. It just takes a moment to count the blessings that God has done. Share with others what God has done. Share with others the blessings that God has done. Say, I want to reach the next generation. I don't want to see the church decline. I don't want to see the work of God decline, but only go forward, only increase. You see, God hasn't stopped working. The power of God hasn't weakened in any way. The Bible says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. So if Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever, so why would his power weaken in any way? Why would we doubt him when it comes to sharing the gospel, when it comes to seeing his word go forward, when it comes to seeing souls saved, people reached with the gospel? And I'll close with this. in verse number 23, they spoke about this. They spoke about how, and he brought us out from thence that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded to us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always. You say, God isn't expecting us to fear him so that he can say, oh, I have control over you, or I have dominion over you. No, it's saying this, to fear the Lord our God for our good always. You know, the Lord knows what's best for you. He's a father who cares for you very dearly, and he wants what is best for you. Sometimes we don't like that because it means no to certain things. But knowing this, that God's intentions are always best intentions that he has for you. See, there's a work that God has for you that none but else can do. There's a work that God has for you, specifically for you, that somebody else may not be able to do. It says to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is at this day, and it shall be our righteousness. You say, well, how can I be made righteous? You know, how can we be seen as righteous? It's not by what we have done. It's by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope this morning that you can say that you know Jesus is your Savior. I hope you can say that. You say, well, how do I know that? How do I know that Jesus is my Savior? Well, that, have you believed on him? Are you believe that Jesus is the only one who is able to save you? The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. Not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. And when we think about a gift, it's something that you don't pay for. A gift isn't something that you earn, but it's a gift that you receive graciously. Receive the gift of God if you have not. If you don't know him as your Savior, call out to him today. Believe on the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved. It says in verse 25, and I'll close with this, and it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments the Lord our God, as he hath commanded us. Do that which is right in his sight. Fear the Lord and obey him. You say, take the truth of God, what he's done in your life, and share that with the generation to come, the next generation. In fact, I'm thinking about a verse, and I feel like it's not appropriate to end without sharing it with you. And it's in Psalm 78. And Psalm 78 is a wonderful passage here in the book of Psalms. And you see here, the Bible says in verse 1, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. Now listen to this, verse number 4. We will not hide from them their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. Showing to the generation to come. That's our task. That's what God has given us to do. You see, there was a wonderful expression. I know I'm going on and on, but there's a wonderful expression that a lady that is a friend of mine, she told me this. She said, somebody asked her, what is the task of a Christian? He said, what does it mean to be a Christian? And she said simply this. She said, to know him and to make him known. To know him and to make him known. You say, what is my task that God has for me? We spend a lot of time sometimes seeking for his will. What is it that God wants me to do? What is it that God wants me to do? Know him and make him known. We don't stop knowing him. We keep knowing him each day, abiding in him each day, but knowing him and make him known. That's what God has for us to do today. I trust that this was a blessing to you and that you'll take these things. And like it says, don't just hear these things, but observe to do it. Observe to do it. And may God be glorified and honored in all of this. Let's bow together here in a word of prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, we are so grateful that thou hast blessed us abundantly, Lord. Father, we know that we can stop, and Lord, there would be lists and lists of the blessings that we take for granted each day. Father, we know that thou hast commanded us to take forth the truth that thou hast shown to us and to declare it unto the next generation. So, Father, please, would you help us to do that? Father, would you strengthen our hands for the work, and realizing that without you, your word says we can do nothing. So, Father, please, would you fill us with thy spirit? Lord, we pray that if there be anybody here tonight or this morning that doesn't know thee as Lord and Savior, we pray that thou wouldst reveal to them the wonderful Savior who is Jesus our Lord. And may they know, too, that wonderful hope, that wonderful peace and joy that comes through knowing him. So, Father, we ask all these things now in your precious and holy name. Amen.